Welcome to Midwest Small Town, the podcast that takes you on a journey through the heart of America and shines a light on the charming and often overlooked towns across the country, revealing where to go, stay, and play. Whether you're a traveler seeking adventure or a local looking for something new right in your own backyard, we've got you covered. So let's explore the soul of Small Town USA. Welcome to Midwest Small Town. I'm your host, Dan.
And I'm Tammy.
And we're at Declines, and we are here to share our new venture, really, on our new podcast, Midwest Small Town. And we're not really totally new to the game completely, especially with travel and spotting a light on small towns, as we've done it before, under the name of Country Pilgrim. The joke that they kind of talk about is that I am the artist or the blogger formerly known as Country Pilgrim. But now that we are kind of shifting, we'll go to that story of why we are shifting and why we're rebranding here in a second.
Dan, what defines a small town?
And that is a great question, because as I was at some economic development events, I was talking to a few directors and I asked them that question. I said, okay, so we're starting a new venture called Midwest Small Town. We want to just talk about small towns. What defines small town? And I got many different answers. One person said, well, the definition according to the National is that it's a population of 50,000 or less. And I don't know about you, but we have grown up in Iowa in a small town. For us, when we hear 50,000, we think that's
seems pretty big.
That's a big town, right? Or even a smaller city. And some people, you could say that, hey, we live in a town of 10,000, and they would still think that's a big town, depending on where they're at. So we know there's a range. And so here at Midwest Small Town, because the national definition of it is 50,000, we are going to go 50,000 or less. But the real truth is that a lot of the towns that we cover are probably going to be in a range of, what would you say?
I'd say probably like 500 to 15,000.
Exactly. So that are a lot of the towns that we have. If you're listening to this, we'd love to hear from you, by the way. The way that we do this is we see our listeners as a community. And so we like to connect with you. You can connect with us at midwestsmalltown@gmail.com. Give us any questions that you have, any stories that you have. We'd love to hear from you. And again, what's your definition of a small town?
So I'm sure people are thinking, what is Midwest Small Town? And here's what it is to us. It's a place where we tell the story about small town America. We share where to go, stay, and play. And because we're so passionate about small town America, we want to shed a light on the smaller things, because we believe there are much bigger things to tell.
In a town by the name of Sutherland, Iowa, I was sitting at a local bar and grill, and I was actually covering that town, doing exactly what Tammy said, where to go, stay, and play in small town America, in this case, Sutherland. As I was sitting there, and as a local came up next to me, that's great that you're here writing on our town, but what's there to do here? And it just kind of amazed me that there was a local that didn't even know in their own town what there was to do. You know, obviously he knew where to eat because he was eating there. But I started sharing with him, well, what about this place? Or what about this place? And as I started giving him ideas, it's, oh yeah, oh yeah. And don't you think it's common, Tammy, that a lot of times in our own backyards, we forget or we just don't realize that we have more to offer than we realize?
For sure. And I think a lot of times, smaller towns, a lot of times the people think that there really isn't anything to do. They maybe have grown up there, or they just don't see the value.
Almost take it for granted.
Right.
Really.
Right.
And that's really easy to do. So we have two type of listeners on this program. The first one will be people who are looking for a place to travel, a sense of adventure. They want to know where to go, stay, and play, like we share. Our second listener really is the small towns and the destinations. And what we want to do there is we just really want to form a connection with you, form a relationship with you, and give you an opportunity to shed a light or a spotlight on your community.
And not only that, but we want to give value, and we're going to be able to give some insider tips for our destinations and towns. We want to give you some ideas and open up the possibility for working together.
The other thing is, is when we really look at these destinations, how exciting is it to give value in that sense, right? To give the insider tips, like we're saying, and to give the ideas, like the big aha moment. So if we're in some of these other destinations and towns and we see an idea, we'd love to share that with you. So if you're a destination listening, is like, oh, I never thought about that.
So something that was really neat, like you said, Dan, is we had three businesses here in town yesterday that worked together to do an event. And one was a coffee shop, and the event was held there. Another store in town, they had a little counter set up for people to come make their own charm necklaces. And another store in town had something set up to where they could make, it was called a fall floral bar, and they could design their own fall or holiday arrangements. So it was just really a neat thing, for a great way for businesses to come together, work together, and promote their business.
And these are the type of things that I love to hear, because these are just ideas of ways to encourage people to do these things, to understand. You know, you hear the term shop local, but what is that really about? Obviously, it's about dollars, keeping them within the community. But when I sit on different panels or committees and we talk about travel and tourism, the importance of that, and I think most people who travel, they understand this too, that what are you doing? You're bringing outside dollars with you to spend where you're going. You want to. You want to go explore, and you want to eat at special places, whether it's a winery or a brewery, or if you find a really neat art and craft shop, you absolutely want to do that. And those dollars, of course, stay in that community. So tourism and travel are important. So encouraging you as a listener to go explore, find these things, and also encouraging you as a destination to go ahead and do that as well. Okay, so our very first podcast, and we're going to go ahead now, and we're going to share with you our top five small towns that we have visited in the past that we love. Tammy will share five, I'll share five, and let's kind of alternate from there. How does that sound?
Sounds good. Who gets to go first?
Should we play paper, rock, scissors? You get to go first.
All right. All right. So I think for my first one, I picked Medora, North Dakota.
I love Medora.
And we visited a couple years ago. We had never been to Medora. I had never heard of it. Had you ever heard of it, Dan?
I had not heard of Medora. And I will tell you right now, if you've never heard of Sarah, I'm going to give you props here. So Travel with Sarah invited us. She is part of the Midwest Travel Network, which we are part of. We went as far as a fam tour, right? A familiarization of Medora.
So cool. It's not only the gateway for Theodore Roosevelt National Park, which is amazing and has wild horses. There are so many other things that Medora has to offer. It's only a population of 117 people, which is unbelievable.
That small. It doesn't seem that small.
Not at all. But I think that's because we went in the summer, and that's, of course, when they're hopping and things are going on. I think I read somewhere that in the summer they have several hundred thousand tourists going through Medora. So yeah, it's neat. They have a musical, which is just really special to Medora. And
top-notch musical. It almost rivals close to Branson, if you're familiar with Branson, Missouri.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely had that Branson feel, and it has a patriotic theme, and great, great talent, and it's outdoors and just really neat. We also were lucky enough to have a tour of the set beforehand, which was really cool. And then before that, we went to, what do you call that, Dan?
Pitchfork Fondue.
Yeah, which was really cool. Dan thought it was great.
I loved it. You know, something cool about steak on a pitchfork and they're cooking it. and I will add this too, Tammy, which I thought was really cool too. And I'll stop for a second and tell you, we will go back to a lot of these destinations and really give you more of an insider. So we're going to kind of go a little quicker on this, but it's handicapped accessible. I loved it that they had escalators down, so you didn't have to go all these stairs down there.
So neat, cool. For sure. So, we'll stop there. We could go on and on about Medora, but I'll let you have a turn now.
Yeah, and since I have to tell you, North Dakota is one of those states, by the way, that surprises. So if you have not had a chance, you know, I was definitely biased, like, I don't want to go to North Dakota. When I went, I was like, oh my goodness.
We can't wait to go back.
Yeah, it's, just, it's awesome. So when you get to the western half of the state. Okay, so my destination, number one, Madeline Island, Wisconsin. Now, if you never heard of the Apostle Islands, this is it. Madeline Island being one of 22 of the Apostle Islands, to be exact. And the cool part about this, the population of ranges, 220 in the winter and about 2,500 in the summer. So you get up to about Bayfield, Wisconsin area, you take a ferry across to the island. And one of the cool things there is Big Bay State Park.
Amazing.
Awesome. It's awesome. So that's my first one.
Awesome. Yeah, we loved it there. I have chosen Cedar Falls, Iowa for the second one. This is a little bit bigger on the population. I believe it's a little bit over 40,000. And I chose Cedar Falls because it has a special meaning for Dan and I. We both were students at the University of Northern Iowa.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers. And just absolutely loved going to college there. Great college town, beautiful campus, home of the Dome. Lots to love about Cedar Falls. Another cool thing about Cedar Falls is we now have our youngest son going to UNI, and we were just there last Saturday for the homecoming parade. What'd you think about Main Street, Dan?
Not what it was when we were in college 20-some years ago. I mean, that Main Street is hopping. It's awesome. They've got some cool businesses. I just saw a couple of my friends who are travel writers. I was a little envious. I was like, hey, I didn't get an invite to this. But they had a ghost tour for Halloween around the corner, so you could go downtown Cedar Falls. I thought, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and I know it's been under construction for quite a while, and part of it still is, but we were really excited about Main Street. It was definitely not like that when we were there a few years ago. But Cedar Falls definitely has a special place in our hearts. And now that we have our son Caleb there as a Panther and on the football team, it's pretty exciting.
Okay, for my second one. Now, our name is kind of tricky. Midwest small town. For the most part, because we're from the Midwest, we're going to have a lot of more stories about Midwest, but there are times when we're going to go outside of the Midwest, and this is one of them, Folly Beach, South Carolina. Now, Folly Beach has a population roughly around 2,000. The reason why we even discovered it is we had a trip to Charleston, South Carolina, which is awesome. I'm a history guy. I love history. I'll probably share it a lot in our podcast, but we left Charleston because we were heading up to Myrtle Beach. And my friend, who is from South Carolina, said, great that you're going to Myrtle Beach, but check out Folly Beach first. So we did, and we traveled. Folly Beach is about, 20, 25 minutes away from Charleston. So you get out of the hustle and bustle of the city, which is kind of our theme of this whole podcast. And you get to Folly Beach, which is a small town, and it was awesome. It's beach town. You park your car, you go to the beach. It's not as populated as Myrtle Beach. And,
you know, we were just there for one night and we could have spent a whole week there.
We could have just stayed there.
Absolutely loved it there.
Just loved it. And that was our first experience with the boys and the ocean. So the Atlantic Ocean. So that's mine, Folly Beach.
I'm not surprised you chose that, Dan. Let's see. Another one on my list is Galena, Illinois.
Love Galena.
Dan and I kind of fought about this one. He wanted this one too. They have a population of a little over 3,000. The big thing about Galena is it was the home of Ulysses S. Grant.
President Grant.
Right? Known for its rich history, which Dan, being the history buff that he is, definitely likes it there. They have great architecture. How do you say that?
Architecture. And it does have good architecture. I mean, it's just cool walking downtown.
It's very cool. I would say that's probably my favorite part of Galena is the main street with the unique shops and restaurants. And I really love visiting Galena in the fall. It's just beautiful there.
And you can't you can barely just walk around and just not feel the history just basically oozing out of the buildings and the stores and the fronts, and you can just look around and see, and you're like, wow, this is cool. So a typical town that's kind of close to the Dubuque, Iowa area, and mining is kind of the big thing. So lead mining, and then, of course, Galena, where it's got its name from. So I could go on history, but that's a good one, Tammy. Yeah. I love it.
Your turn.
It's my turn. Okay, so you covered North Dakota, and so I'm going to roll down to South Dakota now. My third one is Hill City, South Dakota. Listen, if you've never had a chance to go out to the Badlands, the Black Hills, put it on your list. It is awesome. And if you have not been out there, try out Hill City. The cool thing that I love about this and the population, are you ready for this? Under 1,000. So 994 people live in Hill City. My favorite part is they have this train. It's a historical train called the 1880 train. You can take that train from Hill City to Keystone. How long do you think that takes?
Oh, golly, we've done it a couple times.
Hour?
Maybe an hour.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't, I mean, it's awesome. It's relaxing. It's cool. You get to have them tell stories as they're going. Once you stop, now the cool thing is, I'm talking about Hill City. You could start at Keystone and go the other way too. So I love it. And you can go visit both towns and kind of see the history and learn the history, go shopping, and you're right there in the Black Hills.
Yeah. In fact, we took our boys when they were very little, and then we just went back a couple years ago with them. And each time, we just all loved it. So it's a great place to visit.
The Black Hills, there's so much to do out there.
For sure. Right. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
All right. I chose Arnold's Park, Iowa. We are just about 20 minutes away from Arnold's Park, so it's considered to us a Northwest Iowa gem. And a lot of times when we meet people that are not from the area, we'll tell them that we live by the lakes, Lake Okoboji, and usually people have heard of that or have visited. It's just a great place to visit in the summer. Of course, it has Lake Okoboji, the amusement park, great restaurants and shops, the Queen, concerts and on the weekends, the Rift Garden, Boardwalk.
Nutty bars. Bob Dogs. You got to go to Bob's on the Hill.
Yeah. Great place to visit.
And the cool thing about it is if you come in the summer, which obviously it's a summer hotspot, but I love the concerts they have in the green space. So they rebuilt the stage. And
yeah, it's so neat.
It's so cool. And you check out a free concert. And it's just a great place. And it's fun. And I know a lot of people have some memories because it's historical. So cool.
Yeah. Great place. Gotta go.
All right. So Iowa, you hit the northwest corner of Iowa. And what I'm going to do for my fourth small town is I'm going to stay in the state of Iowa, but I'm going to go across to the northeast corner of Decorah, Iowa. So Decorah, Iowa, if you've never been and maybe you've heard it's a place, it's magical because, and again, being born and raised in Iowa, of course I love my own state, but it doesn't feel like Iowa.
It's true.
It doesn't feel like Iowa. It feels kind of like maybe Wisconsin.
I think so, for sure.
I mean, mm-hmm. So the cool part about it is, and I just gave props to Wisconsin, by the way, so because I love that state as well. But Decorah is a population of about 7,700, and not only is it beautiful, but they have some really cool things there. One of them is Dunning Spring Park. Now, I love this park because they have a waterfall. And when you think, wait a second, Iowa, that's not the first thing that comes to mind. It's a cool waterfall. You can climb up in it. And then they have, not too far down the road, they have an ice cave. And you that's can actually right. go back into the ice cave and you can just feel that temperature just drop.
It's now, great to visit on a hot day.
I had a person on our Facebook page talk to me about Decorah just recently, actually, and said, am I just wrong? It just didn't seem like it was very big, and it really isn't that big. The ice cave isn't, but it's still
pretty small.
It's still pretty cool, actually.
Very cool.
So that's my fourth one. And also, last but not least, the National Norwegian American museum. So
for my final destination, I chose Branson, Missouri. And we visited there with my parents. Oh, golly, it's been a while now. But I just love Branson, not only for the great music and the great shows and entertainment, but they also have Table Rock Lake and the Branson Bell, which we had so much fun on, Dolly Parton Stampede, Silver Dollar City, and did I mention the shows? I just love visiting Branson.
Branson has a special spot in my heart because they have this place called the Titanic Museum.
And which we did visit.
Which we visited. Now, some people are like, really? And I
can't believe you're bringing this up. I didn't really realize this was so special to you.
It was so cool because as I was, and I don't want to get in any trouble with copyright, so I really want to sing the Titanic song so bad right now. But you go in there and I'm just looking around. I'm just amazed because I'm like, Rose, Jack. No, it's pretty cool. And so I like history. And so for me, it was kind of neat to see the artifacts and things like that. And so that was neat. Tammy brought up some of the shows. And again, you just can't go wrong. And of course, Silver Dollar City is not too far down the road. Right. So,
yep. Lots of fun.
Great place to go. Okay. So that leads to me. I'm last.
You're last.
I'm last. And since I've been interrupting you, Tammy, you have permission to interrupt here. This last one. Okay. So I will say this before I go ahead into my last one. We're going to try to keep our episodes right around 25 to 30 minutes. Okay. So we're at about 25 minutes now. So let's go ahead and wrap this up with number 5, Cave in Rock, Illinois.
That was awesome.
Oh, man. So it might be a surprise for some people to like, Cave in Rock, where's that? And it is in southern Illinois. It is basically right on the border of Illinois and Kentucky. And such an interesting place because they have a state park there. And I know this is going to sound really weird, but the name of the park is Cave in Rock State Park. Same as the town. And it's historical because if you look back in history, around the 1830s, that cave was known to be a place where river pirates and bandits and horse thieves and criminals, they would hide out in that cave. And it was notorious for it. So when you go visit, you can actually go into the cave. You'll take stairs all the way down along the Ohio River. That's where it's along.
I felt like it was huge, too.
Oh, the cave is ginormous. I mean, it, first you're looking down, but if you can see pictures looking up at the cave, it is a big cave, and it goes way back.
Yeah, and I remember going in there and basically not even knowing where the boys were. That's how big it is.
Oh, it's big. And then, you know, here are some names that, well, one especially, some might say, oh, I know that name if you're a history buff, but the Harp brothers, right? So they were notorious, even known as like serial killers, actually some of the first. And think of the time period, right? 1830s. But beyond that, okay, the cave is cool. But once you leave the state park, because you're right there along the Ohio, this is the neatest thing. They don't have a bridge to go across from Illinois to Kentucky. They have a ferry. And so you have to wait in line.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, you have to wait in line. And they're pretty good. I mean, it didn't take that long.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I don't, did we know that though? Or was that kind of a surprise?
It really was a surprise. I had no idea.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And so we get there, I'm like, oh, I guess we have to cross the ferry. And so we're waiting, the ferry comes and it takes you across. You take the ferry across and then you're in Kentucky. Now, I will tell you. I
totally forgot about that.
And I want to do a lot more on this area because this is a really, really cool area in southern Illinois. It's actually part of the Shawnee National Forest.
Mm-hmm, which is also really neat.
Amazing. And when you go into Kentucky, be very careful because you're really going into Amish country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple times when you're winding and curving and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, there's a buggy, right? And of course they have had signs, you know, Amish furniture, so forth, but really, really cool, cool thing. And so that's my last town that I want to share. And of course, this is just the beginning. right? We have many small towns that we want to share along the way. And
each of the small towns that we just talked about will probably have its very own episode coming up within the, you know.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So we want to share twice a week is what we're kind of looking at.
Yeah.
And so we're going to share this with you, just kind of keep this going. I know that we have some great episodes that are coming up. I know that we're going to share our own hometown. So Tammy's going to share hers growing up in the town of Charles City, Iowa. Ba-ba-ba. And I grew up in the town of Cherokee, Iowa. Roughly about the same size town, but we'll go into that and much, much more. Again, love to hear from you as we are going on with this, MidwestSmallTown@gmail.com, and of course our website, MidwestSmallTown.com. And like we say on this channel, we really feel it's about connections and relationships. So our saying really here is, go small,
come home.